stop on the street.
Yes, sir.
Mr. President, let's see. She has just chatted with you for a little bit. To tell you, because she wanted a message to come to you, then I think you'll probably direct him to some of your other people, which has to do. Why he believes, in as few common sense words as he can, that you can't do what he thinks some of your people have led you to do. That can be done with increased production in these offshore areas that you take over. He's not here to complain about it. He's not here to argue about it. He's not here to do any of those things. He's here to tell you what he believes the situation is with oil production onshore and offshore in Louisiana and how it's going to affect you. His only interest is to keep you, from getting in trouble.
Mr. President, you're right. See, I'm very grateful to you for giving me this appointment. And I'd like to give you a little bit of background so we know who you're talking to. 6 years ago, I might
have been doing all right.
But I did finish high school. And I went during 3 years with the natural circumstances prevented from continuing in my business, I mean, in my schooling. I came back and went to the trucking business for some months. I ended up with a truck line operating in 3 states, Oklahoma, Texas, and Louisiana. And then formed me a small independent oil company. I drilled a few wells, and I was more or less a broker. Anyway, in 1952, I sold my company and retired at 47 years old. Feeling like that I could devote my time doing what I always wanted to fish. And take trucks. But after about 4 years, in other words, I was exhausting myself looking for something to do. So when Earl Long was elected governor, he called me into the speech and said, "You haven't got anything to do, so this is an honorary job." I said, "I know you like resources. Then you got a strike at the fairground, the car mutual people are striking. The owners and trainers are dissatisfied, the job is full of dope. I wish you'd been straightened out." Well, for lack of nothing to do, I accepted that appointment and became chairman of the Racing Commission. 2 years later, the registered state lands died. The charge administration of all state lands. He called me and said, "I want you to take this job." I said, "Governor, I'm satisfied with where I am. I can't hold both jobs." He said, "Who said you couldn't hold both jobs?" I said, "Well, the Constitution doesn't exist. As long as nobody complains, that they can't. If nobody complains about it, there's nothing you can do." So I was confirmed against my wishes by the Senate and the Union Commission of Conservation, and it was the rest of the state hands. After that, they prevailed on me to take chairman of the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission. Then they prevailed on me to be chairman of the Conservation Department, which I've been serving my 8th year now. The Conservation Department was created by Sam Jones in 1940. Very simple act. In other words, it gave us the right to charge a certain amount of money, $100 for drilling permit, $100 for public hearing. And the rest of it was based on the protection of quality rights and protection of waste. And this act, it gave the Conservation Commission very broad powers to do this itself, so it did. In 1953, when oil production became we came about the second or third oil producing state. Up until that time, there'd never been any oil hours. It'd been just where they produced what it's disposed of. But then they put in an allowable system. A percentage of the net price allowable, which means 8% of what the well can produce. Now the way we set the allowables, about 15 days before we set the allowables, we get written nominations from all the producers and all the purchasers of Louisiana crude. And then we have a public hearing, and there's 250 to 300 people there. representatives from all of the United States as far as refineries concerned. I read the nominations and then I ask for comments. The reason I ask for comments is because these nominations have been made about 15 days prior to this hearing. If there are any changes made from the floor. After we get these nominations, then we try to figure what depth bracket allowable will produce that much oil. And we set it, but I brought figures to verify, audited figures, to show you that I had set those numbers 2 or 3% above what the nominations were every month. And of course, some months we don't produce it, but other months these figures will verify that we produce 1.5 million or 2 million barrels of oil per month, and sometimes 3 million barrels of oil per month. More than the nominations call for what they need. Louisiana gets about 50% of their resources from severance tax bonuses and from oil royalties on state lands that we own. Most of those funds are dedicated funds. And when I hear these reports that we're holding back oil down there to maintain the price, it's ridiculous to me. Because we have to produce the oil, Mr. President, to keep our state operating. I have some figures here that I would like to show you. They are audited figures.
What we needed, and they were afraid we were going to have a crude oil shortage as far as the swimmers concerned.
town leases to 56%, got that to 66%, I produced $51,719. Went to 68%, I produced $92,000 for the nomination. Went to 75%, I produced $104,000 for the nomination. 75%, $123,000 for the nomination. 75%, $130,000. Mr. President, that's $4 million a month above the nominations. Now we come over to this side picture. This is the Looney side, I'm not sure. This is the allowable barrels per day. In November of 1970, I set the allowable 75%. We produced 2,219,258 barrels. This is not included in Zone 4, where this is going to take over. I come to Delaware with the same nominations, only produced 2,108,000 barrels. I come to Marsh, and this is a projected figure. I come up with 212,000 barrels. My projection is that since I've been at 75% from November, December, January, and February, and March, my production on the same wells, the same allowance, has dropped 206,000 barrels per day.
Mr. Pete, I'm going to interrupt you again. Are you getting any very specific figures? This will mean something to the
president. Well, that means,
you told me what they told you when the takeover came, how much additional oil they hope to be able to buy. They're operating to be able to produce. I give you no suggestion.
And Mr. President, our production is not going down this place. But our problem is, we're overproducing these wells. They're coning in the water and they're sanding up. And in other words, we can't keep them going at this big, this large rate of production. And we can go back and rework them, which we will do, and we will pick up some of this oil. But we can't produce that same rate of oil because they're coning something again. It's going to take 5 years to get this back. In other words, it just can't be done with time. And I'm going to show you why it can't be done with time. 1965, permits to drill new wells and water jet wells averaged 502 permits per month in Louisiana. 1966, it dropped to 362. 67, 343. 68, 321. 69, 229. In 1970, 267 per month. A drop from 502 to 267 permits per month. That's how fast it's going on. Now we come down to the oil well completions. In 1965, we completed 2,924 oil wells in St. Louisiana. 66, 1938, 67, 1623, 68, 1356, 69, 1,091, 1970, 1116. 2,924 down to 1,116. That's the new completions, wildcats, and wells that will be drilled in the reservoir where they do get the wildcats in the developed reservoir. Now we come down to the active drilling rigs. 1965, we had 328 rigs running in Louisiana. 1966, 296. 67, 273. 68, 227. 69, 226. 1970, 191. We have dropped from 328 to 191 drilling rigs in Louisiana. I know that's a gloomy picture, and I wouldn't tell many people about this, except you and our governor, because I think one trouble is right now that this country's given the Far Eastern people too much publicity about how short we all are, and they're going to catch us in the crash. I think that's what they think now.
President, the problem is peace.
I worked with this on night and day.
You know what I mean?
I guess I'm not the picture up here. This is what you were talking about. Another thing I wanted to discuss with you, if I could ask you a question, was the classification they made on what Zone 4 was going to do. I saw figures from 150 to 250 pounds a day. It's a public record. I said they would produce between 25 and 40.
So last year, you're talking about 1,000 barrels a day now, Mr. Pete?
1,000 barrels, 25 to 40. Last month, they produced 27,000 barrels, 15 of it came from new production, and actually could produce 12,000 barrels from the old wells. Oh, what I was at the mine.
Robbie, do you work the Coast Texas?
No, sir. Do a better job than we do. For this reason, I guess, in my mind, with what Brighton's going to take on, they've got a computer over there, and they put that on the computer. Now, we have a computer in Louisiana, but they have never been able to give us the information off of this computer that the computer in Texas gives them. I have the utmost respect to Judge Langdon, and good friend Governor Ramsey, and the commissioner over there, whatever his name is. And that most respect for those people are elected officials, Mr. President. I'm an appointed official. In other words, I serve at the pleasure of the judge. And of course, all these jobs I've had, I say the honorary. And I say how it's $14,000 a year, and I pay $275 in my book, and I'm still maintaining a home and back in the middle. But that's not here or there. I would say this about you, Department Chair. You've got some good people.
Interior.
Yes, sir. You've got some good people over there. And you've got some people that know the business. And I think that this, under your administration and under the former administration, they will tell you that no state has tried to work any closer to be more cooperative than Louisiana. Because I even send them back to that, I don't know what I'm going to say, how they figure them out, what we could use in combination. And during the far recent situation, they called me, that's about 3 or 4 years ago, when they had crashed over there. And I increased Louisiana's production in less than 24 hours, 450,000 barrels a day. I called the meeting at 9 o'clock that morning, and I said, don't go back to your office, my dad, we'll call your production too fast. I couldn't change the hour without hearing, but I did give me 50% bonus a hour. We were operating 47% at that time, and I gave them a 50% bonus, which is 20 and a half. He was producing the first 30 days, he produced 450,000 most of the season.
Well, let me say this, it's obvious that I'm aware of your, first of your confidence in this field. You know, Joe is quite an advocate because our people also tell me the same thing. It is, of course, a subject as far as the technical side I understand a lot of it because I grew up in California. We had some understanding of the oil business there. It is a matter, however, where I would like to have you, while you're here, to have a good talk with all of our people that make decisions. Now, we got General Lincoln, as you know, in his office. John Whitaker is the man in the White House staff who's...
I'm not the president, I'm not the president. My objective to coming up here is to try to tell you some verified figures, in other words, that we're in serious condition as far as oil production is
concerned. I'll tell you what I'd like to do. If John Whitaker can arrange a meeting with the, so he doesn't have to run all over town, we'll keep you. The next time something comes up on this, I'd like to know what it is. Mr. President, I can see that you understand if you're an honest man. That's all I need to know.
He said. That's all. So let me write it down.
selling our lands down there. We have as much as $110 million in savings. On state lands. Last sale we had brought up less than $100,000. The reason for that is that all the land we have left in Louisiana has been rejected two and three and four times. Set up, put up, so nobody would bid on it. So in my opinion, that makes it second, third, fourth, and fifth rate prospect.
Sure.
So they got to give us a little information on it, and it's up there. But that don't mean that that land couldn't produce. They could be wrong.
Sure.
The only people that are going to develop that land is the little them. The majors are not going to go out there.
Oh, I'm aware of that.
Let me just go a little bit further. When the depletion was cut from 27.5% to 22%, it didn't hurt the major companies. They couldn't spend that depletion lines. But that's the kill that we're going to come up.
That's the reason that I fought.
And Louisiana.
But Chicago is so cruel. So
Louisiana.
You know.
How do you know?
That's the reason for it. I said at the time that you had a vote to write it. I pointed out to all those fellows. I said, look, the big companies, they couldn't care what that's supposed to be. Anyway, they have ways to get around everything. But those little companies, that guy that's going out there, you know, and drilling a marginal piece of property, that can be lighter than that.
If every oil producing state is in the same position.
Yeah, I know that.
And if Congress could be convinced somehow or another to give that belligerent a little bit more incentive, because he's got to sell somebody that's got some tax money to drill that damn
oil
state.
The oil business is taking a bad rap in the Congress, as Joe will tell you. Particularly these fellows, you know, from these new states. And frankly, I must say, some from some others as well, but they always make a whipping boy out of the oil business. I mean, the oil business, all oil people are a bunch of crooks and they're being this and that. You know, that's why they voted that.
A vote that surrounds it like...
Fellows like Proxmire, you know, Proxmire in the Senate, just he's a guy that took it. We just didn't have a chance. That is the truth. But we had Connolly at that time. But he's tough.
You know
John Connolly. As a matter of fact, they were suggesting he sit in our meeting, but that's not necessary. If you tell Whitaker and Connolly.
Well, anyway, here's about all people. I've been there 8 years, and lots of decisions I make are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. My writing is that I have never had an oil company to try to persuade me, bribe me, offer me one man.
Let me tell you, I know the oil people because I said I grew up in California and I was in the house and son, and also I on that side of the issues. It isn't because of the fact that I want them to get richer, I want the country to get richer. And by God, you've got to reward people and encourage them. They're good.